नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नमो विष्णुवराय कृष्णवस्ताय गुरुदेव श्रीमाते भक्तवेदांत स्वामी नीति नमने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचलने निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तरने श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासुदेव गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे प्रिय श्रीमद् भागवत कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 23 वर्स 48
देशा
काल
काल
पृथक द्रव्यम मंत्रा
तंत्राविचो
अग्नयः
देवता
यजमानस्
च
क्रतुर् धर्मस्
च
यन्मयः देशकालापृथग्द्रव्यम् मन्त्रतन्त्राद्विजोऽग्नयः देवता यजमानश्च क्रतुर्धर्मश्च यन्मयः देशकालपृथग्द्रव्यम् मन्त्रतन्त्राद्विजोऽग्नयः देवता यजमानश्च क्रतुर्धर्मश्च यन्मयः Desha, place, kala, time, pratak dravyam, particular items, mantra, Vedic hymns, tantra, prescribed rituals, ritvaja, priests, agnaya, sacrificial fires, Devata, presiding demigods, Yajamana, performer, and Kratu, offering, Dharma, pious reaction, and yet, whom, Maya, constituting. Translation, all aspects of sacrifice, the auspicious place and time, the various items of paraphernalia, the Vedic hymns, the prescribed rituals, the priests and sacrificial fires, the demigods, the patron of the sacrifice, the sacrificial offering, and the pious results obtained, all are simply manifestations of his opulences. Yet even though we have heard that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, the Lord of all mystic controllers, had taken birth in the Yadu dynasty, we were so foolish that we did not recognize Sri Krishna to be none other than him. Text 50. Let us offer our obeisances unto Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His intelligence is never bewildered, whereas we, confused by his power of illusion, are simply wandering about on the paths of futile work. Text 51. We were bewildered by Lord Krishna's illusory potency and thus could not understand his influence as the original personality of Godhead. Now we hope he will kindly forgive our offense. Text 52. Thus reflecting on the sin they had committed by neglecting Lord Krishna, they became very eager to see him, but being afraid of King Kamsa, they did not dare go to Raja. Purport, realizing their offense against Lord Krishna and finally appreciating his almighty position, the Brahmanas naturally wanted to rush to Raja and surrender at the lotus feet of the Lord. But they were afraid that Kamsa would certainly kill them when his spies reported that they had gone to Krishna. The Brahmanas' wives were absorbed in ecstatic Krishna consciousness and thus went to Krishna anyway, just as the gopis, simply to dance with the Lord, traveled in the dead of night, through a forest inhabited by wild animals. But the Brahmins were not on such an advanced platform of Krishna consciousness, and thus, overcome by fear, Kamsa could not see the Lord face to face. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 23rd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Brahmana's Wives Blessed. Translation: all aspects of sacrifice, the auspicious place and time, the various items of paraphernalia, the Vedic hymns, the prescribed rituals, the priests and sacrificial fires, the demigods, the patrons of the sacrifice, the sacrificial offering, and the pious results obtained are all simply manifestations of His opulences. Yet even though we had heard that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, the Lord of all mystic controllers, had taken birth in the Yadu dynasty, we were so foolish that we could not recognize Sri Krishna to be none other than Him. So this is the concluding statement of the Brahmanas. And as Vishnu Chakravarti has mentioned previously, due to the association of the of their wives, who had a very great and a very strong love of Krishna, the Brahmanas also began to change. So here we see that not only they changed their attitude and recognized the Lord, but they also developed some attraction for Krishna as a result of that association with the wives. Even though the wives were not directly preaching to them, simply that association and enthusiasm to see Krishna developed within them also by that association. And so that is the power of association. And of course, the other aspect is the mercy of Lord Krishna Himself by being present in the before them and asking them various things. So, in order to change heart, what did they have to do? They had to recognize their fault, and they had to repent or regret the insult, or we can say offense, that they made towards Lord Krishna. So, of course, that means aparad. And aparad means that this creates an obstacle to bhakti. Any aparad is an obstacle to bhakti, because it goes in the opposite direction. Just as if we do a punya and then we do a sin, they more or less cancel each other out. A papa is a plus and a sin is a minus. So whatever we do in terms of pious activities will be cancelled out by equal type of sin. So we do devotional service, and then this can be countered by aparada. Just as papa and punya negate each other, cancel each other. So devotional service and aparada creates this type of effect of cancellation also. And that is why devotional service can be destroyed by aparad, even though pops and punyas have no effect upon it. Aparad can have an effect. So we can say that in devotional service, if we say devotional service is punya of some sort, then we say aparad is the papa, which counters it and brings it down to zero if it is serious. So in this way, there are of course different types of aparadas. One of the aparads, the common aparads, among, we have of course nama aparad and seva aparad and Vaishnava aparad. So, seva aparad is offense against the deities, such as coming into the deity room with your shoes on, or cursing in front of the Lord, etc., or being impure in front of the Lord. So when Krishna Himself appears, then that is even, if we commit aparad at that time and don't respect the Lord properly, then that is even worse. Of course, the Lord and the deity are not different, but when the Lord Himself comes and one commits aparad, it is also very, very serious. So in this case, the cowherd boys came to the Brahmanas and asked for some food, and then because Krishna is nearby and Krishna and Balaram are hungry, and then they refused. They refused to offer anything to Krishna and Balaram, even though Krishna and Balaram were right near there. So this was a big offense. they refuse to worship and recognize Krishna and Balaram. Consequently, we can say that in terms of devotion, they didn't get any devotional credits, but rather they went in the opposite direction and got opposite results, condemned in terms of devotion. Yet, we see here that quite quickly they develop devotion also. So if one commits aparad against the Lord, or anything, and holy name, or Vaishnavas, or whatever, there are prescribed methods of cancelling out the aparad. Now, of course, aparad is serious in most cases, of which, of all those aparads, the Vaishnava aparad is considered the most serious. We may think that the aparad against Krishna would be the most serious because he's the Supreme Lord, but actually the aparad against the Vaishnava is even worse because Krishna is attached to the Vaishnava more than he's attached to himself. So the aparad becomes very serious. In this case, it was an aparad against Krishna. Krishna, of course, was not disturbed by that. No? He was rather indifferent, but he was very pleased with the wives of the Brahmanas. Very, very pleased with the wives of the Brahmanas. So, nevertheless, the husbands had to do something to get out of there, to remove their offense. So when offense is committed, then one has to do several things. One has to recognize that one is wrong. One has made a mistake. That we've actually offended the Lord, or we've offended the Vaishnava, or we've offended the holy name. We have to recognize that we've made a mistake and that we've actually disrespected the Lord, or the Vaishnava, or the holy name. So we have to recognize the fault. And then we have to show remorse or repentance. That means that we regret that we've done such a thing. And we feel that we are very faulty for doing such a thing, and we're very low. So we have to feel that we have done the wrong thing and have a feeling of regret for that, that we shouldn't have done that. So that is the first step. We have to have that type of feeling in us when we committed the aparad. And we see in case of the Brahmanas, this is actually what happened. They, in the previous verses, they're saying, yes, we did make a mistake. This is, Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and we did not recognize him properly. And now all of our other activities are useless. All of our yajñas, etc., learning and tapasya and brahmacharya, etc., all useless because we did not recognize the Supreme Lord. So they understand that recognizing and worshipping the Supreme Lord is better and superior to all the other religious practices. So that is their recognition of their fault. They regret that they have done such a thing. They made such a big mistake, and therefore they condemn themselves as being influenced by Maya, illusory energy, etc. And they say that we are very bewildered by the Lord's energy to do this. So that is the one step in the right direction of removing the aparad. The next step, of course, is in the case of the Vaishnava aparad, one has to go to the person and apologize and hope that he will accept the apology. And of course, if he doesn't accept the apology, then one can't do anything except chant Hare Krishna. In the case of Krishna, of course, if Krishna is present, then one can go to Krishna and express oneself also. And if he's not present, then one can meditate upon him and offer one's prayers to him. And this is exactly what the Brahmanas did. They were offering their prayers up to the Supreme Lord, asking for forgiveness in that way. So they'd say, this is what they say in text 50, let us offer our respects unto Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. The Lord is supreme and we are in Maya. We are wandering around in this material world in ignorance and under illusion. So they repent their mistake, and they're praying to the Lord for forgiveness. So this is the proper mode. And of course, Krishna is most merciful, so therefore if the person is sincere in his regret that he's committed an aparadha, the Lord will accept that. And similarly, the Vaishnavas are all compassionate like the Lord, and if a person who's committed offense is sincere, then the Vaishnava will also accept the apology. So in this way there is some repair of the situation, and the person can escape from the extreme effects of the aparadha in this way. So in doing so, in following the proper procedure and asking for forgiveness, the Lord also was very pleased with their conduct, and therefore we see that they also developed attraction for the Supreme Lord. So this is a very good conclusion to the pastime, that not only the wives fulfilled their desires, but their husbands also became devotees of the Lord and wanted to serve Krishna. However, we see that in the case of the Brahmanas, they were afraid of Kamsa, so they did not spontaneously just run off to Vrindavan to see Krishna. They were had this fear of Kamsa and his punishment. So whereas the wives, they didn't ever think of what Kamsa would do. So what that indicates is that and if they thought of it, they didn't care about it. They were indifferent to whatever Kamsa would do. So this shows the superiority of the love of the wives for Krishna over their husband's love that they had developed. The wives were spontaneously going to Krishna, whereas the husbands were reluctant to go because they were afraid of Kamsa and his punishment. So, in other words, the wives had developed a very high degree of attachment to the Lord. And this is one of the characteristics in the stage of raga, which comes after sneha, which comes after prema. In the state of raga, which means very, very great attachment to the Lord, one is willing to sacrifice one's life to please the Lord. One will do anything. So the wives of the Brahmanas, in order to serve Krishna and get pleasure to Krishna, were willing to sacrifice their life. Even if Kamsa would punish them, they didn't care. They would go to Krishna and they would serve Krishna somehow or other. So that shows the very intensity of their love. On the other hand, we see the Brahmanas were worried, well, maybe this Kamsa will punish us or whatever. So they hesitated. So their love was on a lesser degree. So in this way, the wives are glorified. Generally, we see, of course, in the Varna Ashram system that the wives take a secondary position and the husbands are considered the principal persons. And generally, in the Bhagavatam, we'll see glorifications of many men devotees. But here in the 10th canto, we'll find sometimes everything turns upside down and the opposite happens. And the women become the greatest devotees. So in this case, the Brahmanas were inferior and their wives were superior. And in the case of the gopis, the young gopis in Vrindavan, again, the wives are superior. They're considered superior. In fact, they're considered supreme. So in Krishna's pastimes, we cannot even consider the rules of the Varna Ashram or the considerations. Everything is different in relation to Krishna. Okay.
Is the word aparadha in relationship to Radha? Does it mean without Radha?
No. And Radha means, of course, worship. And aparadha, it means destruction. It's a different meaning of Radha. It means destruction in aparadha, destructive. And in aradhana means Radha, that aradha, that means to worship. And to give respect, so it's a different route.
You mentioned that the aparadha is the same as papa and what these things.
Well, in a similar, but it's not exactly the same. Well, make, yeah, something it cancels out.
I always heard like Papa and Punya can't, like in the other side, Papa and Punya can't cancel itself out, you know. And that's what I.
Well, that's what we call prayaschittas. We do a sinful activity, and as a result of the sin, then we get some suffering. And then you go to the Purohit and ask him, or the astrologer, and ask, well, why am I suffering? And then he says, astrology shows that you've committed some sins like, killing a Brahmin in your past life, or this or that, whatever. So then he'll give a prescriptive measure, remedial measure, a prayaschitta. So therefore, in order to alleviate the suffering from this particular sin, then you have to do this particular act. You have to donate so much gold to a Brahmana, or give a cow to this person, or whatever like that, according to the sin. And then you get some relief from that effect. So that's called prayaschitta. It doesn't remove the desire, but it removes the effect. That is like the elephant bathing. The elephant goes in the water and bathes, and he comes out and he throws dust on himself again. So that is how prayaschitta is condemned, in a sense that it does not remove the desire, it removes the effect, and then again you commit the sin, and again you have to go through the suffering, and then again do the prayaschitta to get rid of the effect again. So it doesn't really remove the desire behind that to commit sin, but it removes some of the effect. Not completely, but some of the effect is removed. This is mentioned by Bhaktivinoda particularly. I don't see it mentioned by Jiva Goswami or Rupa Goswami anywhere in particular. But Bhaktivinoda mentions it in Harinam Chintamani as one of the types of aparad. He says there is nama aparad or bhakti aparad. There is aparad against Krishna, that is seva aparad. There is aparad against the Vaishnava, Vaishnava aparad, and there's jiva aparad, or aparads in general against other living entities other than Vaishnavas. So, of course, we can consider the jiva aparad more or less to be regular sin, sinful activities, because sinful activities generally involve other living entities, and it means we unnecessarily disturb other living entities in pursuance of our own sense gratification. That is called sin. There is a minimum of disturbance we have to create in order to survive. In other words, we have to eat, etc. So we have to commit some disturbance. We have to eat, we have to walk, we have to do certain things. There's some little bit of minimum of disturbance to other living entities. However, when we go beyond that, then the scripture will say this is called sinful. So in other words, you can eat, but if you eat animal food when there's no necessity for doing so, then it is called sin. So that is disturbance of other jiva unnecessarily. That's jiva apara.
What about things like cutting down trees?
Same. If it is not useful, if it is a waste of, or if you're cutting down the trees to use the wood for some sense gratification, which is unnecessary, then it would be considered apara also. Of course, the sin in cutting down a tree would be less than in killing an animal. And in killing animals, the cow is considered more sinful than the other animals, a bear, for instance, or whatever like that. So, and killing a human is even worse. And killing a Brahmana among the humans is worse. And killing a Vaishnava is not only a sin, it's also aparad. So, we get various degrees of aparads according to species and even among people. And of course, the other thing is the intention behind it. If it is unavoidable, then you're relieved of the sin. But if it is avoidable and you do it anyway with malice and out of greed or whatever, then that is considered sinful.
This person commits to tendencies to commit many aparads, but sometimes you may not even be aware of them.
So when one performs bhakti, and one has some knowledge, and one has some sincerity for the Lord, the aparads may be committed out of ignorance or negligence or whatnot. So they don't have such a serious effect. The serious effect of aparad is caused by when one has deliberate bad intentions. against Krishna or the devotees or the process of bhakti, etc. One is hostile. Then that creates the worst effects. The other is more or less a covering part of Namabhas. But when we actually have hostility, it is no longer Namabhas because it's destructive of bhakti. It can destroy bhakti.
Maharaj, I'm just not so fast, I'm sorry. But the thought I'd ask you, how were the original jivas created? Because in the spiritual world there's no creation, no destruction, and I believe by Punta Lotus. So how were the original jivas created?
No jiva is originally created because they're all eternal.
It's all eternal.
Even the conditioned jivas are eternal. Everything, even matter is not created. It is also, Prakriti is also eternal. It simply appears and disappears and reaches an avyakta state with Mahavishnu. When he breathes in, everything becomes avyakta, but it doesn't disappear as such. Prakriti also is eternal. And then by his will, again, it becomes manifest and creates universes, etc. So the jivas also are eternal. And no creation, no destruction.
Maharaj, Shrangi Vidya Prakriti against
who?
The Parikshit Shrangi.
Shrinking the Brahman.
Was it very serious, and did he have any repercussions or any suffering later on?
Well, of course, we can take that in one sense. It looks as that is almost some sort of arrangement of the Lord. The whole thing was an arrangement of the Lord in order that Srimad Bhagavatam gets spoken, etc. That is there. The other, of course, is that the comment is there by Srila Prabhupada that this indicates that the Brahmanas of Kali Yuga, which was almost Kali Yuga at that time, or maybe a little after or whatever, but at that time Kali Yuga was, the influence was coming, so therefore even the Brahmanas became corrupted and lost their sense of discretion. So we can say in one sense right, in one sense wrong. If his father was insulted, then he had a right to be angry. And that's the normal sense. But because Parikshit was a great Vaishnava, then he should have tolerated that anyway. How did she get out of the spiritual world? Making a lizard. Yeah. So in the case of Putana, we see this is extraordinary mercy of Krishna. It's not that all times that he will show the same mercy. He kills some, they get Sayuja Mukti and emerge in the Brahman. In this case, Putana, she became a nurse in the spiritual world. And she got Sarupya, we can say. She got a spiritual form in the spiritual world to serve the Lord in some capacity. So, what can that be attributed? Only to the extraordinary mercy of Krishna. And even Vishnu does not show such mercy. If Vishnu kills demons, he may elevate them to Svargaloka. He doesn't even liberate them. But Krishna will liberate them, give them Sayuji Mukti, and in some cases even Sarupi Mukti. Same with Agasura. Agasura got Sarupi Mukti also. He became some of the Vishnu Duta in the spiritual world in Vaikuntha. So this is shows the extraordinary nature of Krishna, actually, that he will do this. But he doesn't do it in all cases. It's the discretion what he wants to do.
Hare Krishna.